The show is about to start.
You have to give a snap, give a clap, or have a snap.
I need those levels pumping in green. Green.
No voice memos allowed.
Forever. Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning!
My name's Alaska, what's yours?
Hello, I am Willem.
Hello!
You saw last week's. Last week's was amazing.
It did. I caught
there,
it.
Yeah, there was a reboot, a reboot, I'm sorry, of Bossy Rossi After Dark, and the girls did their little improv challenge on the talk show set. And after delivering some big comedy moments as well as some clunkers, the queen strutted their beaded stuff on the runway. Mm-hmm. Olivia won the maxi challenge second week in a row, and Elliot and Lala Ree found themselves in the bottom. Sadly, Lala went home.
Yes.
Yeah, but this week, this is where it all comes down to it, because this is basically drag for 2020 and some of 2021. It's social media, the unverified rusical.
Right. Yeah.
All about social medias.
Yeah, we love a rusical.
Is it fair to call this a rusical, though, based on what the British girls did? Because, and Courtney's season, and Ben's, and that season, they were actually singing live. These girls were lip-syncing along to tracks that they already recorded, and I think some of them were singing, but it was clear some of them were not singing. So is it okay to call it a rusical? It's not a musical. It's a lip-syncical.
Right. I mean, I'm not mad at that, because if it's going to make the overall product more enjoyable and more watchable, then I think it's fine. I prefer singing live, because that's where I feel like I have control over what's mm-hmm. going on stage. If you've recorded it already, it's in the can, and then it's just like there's nothing you can do. If the audience isn't responding, you can't like amp it up or change it, or you know what I mean?
You're shackled to it. If
your wig falls off, you can't say, "Oops, why am I wearing this stupid crap?" You know?
Yeah, I just appreciate specificity in language, because they ain't calling them out for
standards and practices.
Honey.
We get a lipstick message from Lala that says, "Slay, then save me a plate. Love y'all, Lala Ree."
Honey, classy, she's going to sop it up all over the United States as soon as we're allowed back on stages. I can't wait to see what Lala Ree does. Olivia is feeling great about her second win in a row. And Utica is having that moment where she's like, "Ooh," she's frustrated because she keeps helping people win, but she doesn't win. And
she said, "You see that victory? That was because of me. That was because of me, baby."
And then
maybe I did that.
They're like, "Well, Utica doesn't have a mean bone in her body." And she says, "Well, I can't believe they let her win with that hairline like that." And then they zoom in for the most unforgiving zoom on Olivia's unfettered, unbothered, uncut lace.
Well,
is the lace cut? Because I feel like she made a cut like a centimeter off, but left it like an inch and a half long. Like Candy's, when she wore that wig, it was cut. That's how we know it's not the same wig.
Right, exactly. You can't reattach lace. Lace only goes one direction. It gets cut. That's why some girls leave it long, so they have more wear out of it. The hairline wasn't really the problem. It was the lace. I think that was the issue.
The edges were beautifully laid and stuff. It's just that they were laid on top of a piece of plastic.
Yeah, it was a clear and present danger. Denali is really going through it, because she said somebody threw around the word forgettable, and I know that my look is the best in the room.
I mean, if you would have had to pick out a look, which look would it have been?
I agree. I thought Denali's look was amazing. But you know what? Sometimes that happens on Drag Race. You when you are like, this is my pussy runway week, bitch. This is the one. And they're like, you're safe. Then you're like, are you? Like, okay, work. It sucks, but it happens. Did it ever happen to you? Were you like, this is my... Or did you get critiqued every time?
No, I got critiqued my second time. I was up there. I got critiqued my second time, my third time. I know I got critiqued my sixth, my seventh, and my eighth. I won. My sixth and my eighth, I won. So, yeah, I was critiqued a lot, but I was never, like, butthurt that I didn't win something because I'm used to hearing no every fucking day. A job as an actor...
She's an actor.
...is to take the no and to keep rolling with it and, like... just to divorce yourself from it and just keep it pumping, queen.
Right.
And that's kind of what I do. So I would never get by her if I was like not in the top or something. I've never been a top. I never tried to be a top.
Yeah, that's something the women in our family have never aspired to be. This, you know, it sucks, but safe is also not bad because you get to stay another week and you get to be a woman next time.
And you get to go through the other girl's shit while they're on stage.
Right, exactly.
Oh, how you get to know your sisters.
I get her hangers. Okay. RuPaul comes into the workroom. Oh my gosh, hello.
At least she didn't wear that little yellow boot scoot wig.
Well, you know, I like this look. The queens will... She tells the queens they'll be singing and dancing up a storm in social media, the unverified Rusical, an epic tale fit for the mobile screen, where they will each play the role of a different social media platform. Available now on Quibi.
Fuck you.
I wish one of the girls would have been Quibi. And she would have come out and started her number and then just left.
They should have got Tamisha Iman to do it. Just the doormat. The Quibi said go home.
The Quibi said what the Quibi said. They'll be recording their vocals with Michelle Visage and rehearsing with director Jamal Sims. Amazing. Mm.
Yeah, he could give me some direction anytime. This we're gearing up for either an epic fail for Rosé or an epic triumph because they're really focusing on her like laser. And she's trying to get this best role and show off her singing skills to the judge. So I think this is the fairest way I've ever seen the castings for a challenge happen with Elliot just being like, well, why don't y'all audition? And I was like, work, bitch. It's like the first time I've ever agreed with Elliot. I really like this kind of like put it all out there and just let everyone decide instead of, oh, I think I could do it. It's like, no more thinks, bitch. Let's see it.
And step up. Let's see what you can do. Who, and let's make the show the best it can be.
Who would you have voted for, Rosé or Denali?
Rosé killed the audition. She booked it. She definitely booked the role.
I mean, I think they're going to put a pin in Denali just in case Rosé has something else in first position. Like, you know, The Masked Singer or America's Got Talent. I think she's been on both those shows and lost, right?
Right. It's going to be like Karen Cartwright and Ivy. They're going to both like be kind of in the role the whole season. And then season two is just going to get weird.
Wait, why when you said Ivy, did I think of the Drew Barrymore movie Poison Ivy? Like, I was like, what? I'm guessing
is that
Ivy
Megan
Winters?
Hilty's name? Ivy?
Oh, I only watched the pilot of that. I never learned their names.
Because you read for Ivy and you didn't.
No, I was friends with Catherine McPhee in like 2005 and 2006. And I was like, oh my God, my friend's on TV. And then I went to Tiger Heat to see her perform. And then I threw up all over. And she hasn't talked to me since.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm a drag queen.
That's what I do. That's what I do. I love this audition moment. It's a first for Drag Race, and I hope it becomes a staple because the girls are always fighting over the roles. And honey, this is girl, step up and do it. Let's see.
And if you've ever like gone on the road with the girls after and eaten with Latrice, they truly fight over the roles. Do not go to Olive Garden with them. I was just eating my salad, minding my business. No more bread.
this isn't my salad. This is your salad.
Yeah. The lady, Utica, I like that she's standing up for herself and saying, I'm sticking to my gun here. She just has one gun. She's not sticking to her guns, just her one gun. And she said, I'll keep lady tweets.
She said, I'm going to go ahead and keep lady tweets, but, which, sure.
Thank you for your interest in the role, Denali.
You're not going to get anywhere on Drag Race being everybody's best friend. So I think it's great that
you... Yeah, you got to fuck a producer, too.
Utica is maintaining her... She's not being really a bitch about it. She's just, she's not, like, backing down. She's not giving up this role that she really wants, which, chill, work.
We have a new queen in the workroom, Tran Hathaway, doing a little pop-up. She is here to do like...
I'm Anne Hathaway, and this is my castle I live in.
I was like looking in the back. That's what I was doing mostly, like looking at the architecture, the pass-through to the sunroom, to the foliage. Girl, gardens on gardens. I think that was the White Queen's palace from Through the Looking Glass. She's like, I'll just take the set home with me.
It looked like New York. Is she New York? It looked like...
I feel like everybody in New York with money came to L.A. during the quarantine.
Yes.
They
were like, live in a mansion with a backyard.
But she's that kind of woman that would live in New York and still have a mansion somehow. You know what I mean?
I know she lived, I think, I'm pretty sure in Brooklyn. She used to go into OCC, and she was really, really nice. And that was in, like, the Lower East Side. Vegan, gorge, friendly. Everybody calls her Annie.
I adore Annie Hathaway. We're really good friends. Annie, I just adore her. She's lovely. And this, I thought it was just a video message at first, and then Rosé started talking to the TV, and we were like, wait, why is she talking to the TV? What the fuck?
Same.
And then Annie talked back.
Oh. And Annie is okay. She was telling us all the tea.
She is.
She was saying that she was the ninth option for Devil's Wears Prada.
And you were the 10th.
Bitch, I actually know the second option for the male guy, a guy named James Snyder, who was in the show with Catherine McPhee, Rock of Ages. It all comes around. He was the second choice for the male lead. So, like, honey, they were just going through the people for that movie. They're like, let's get her. Stanley Tucci can play gay again. Let's get him again.
Stanley Tucci is the only person who can play a gay person in Hollywood.
Girl, she's...
I mean, he's the only one.
She's definitely a side. She doesn't do anal.
So wait, do you know who else was... This is a tangent, but who else was up on the lineup for possibly being in Devil Wears Prada? I'm curious.
I just typed into Google who was up for the role in Devil Wears Prada. Mm-hmm. Literally is the autofill.
Wow.
Girl, people have been searching.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos, for listening to everything we say.
I'm not sure of who was up for the Devil Wears Prada role, but I do know that, like, Julia Roberts was also, like, almost the eighth or ninth for Pretty Woman. They wanted Molly Ringwald, Kim Basinger, Meg Ryan. They wanted everybody except her.
That's how it goes. Never give up. You never know.
Never surrender, Space Force. We're going to take a break. Exactly. We're giving up now, actually. Sorry, bye.
Yeah, but bye. I dreamed a dream of days gone by.
I dreamed a dream. Please take my tea and sell my hair. It's not synthetic. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, you're going to want to discover the 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
The Factor meals were so great. I love that they came in a recyclable container and with very little waste. And food, delicious. My
Taste Buds Had a Party.
Exactly. Really good. Really easy to make. Loved it.
Not a lot of cleanup because Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of the prepping, the cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff, and you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and then pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code drag50 at factormeals.com/drag50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
Rachel McAdams.
Oh, uh-huh. Oh.
Claire Danes, Juliette Lewis.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh. It's so hard to imagine that film with anyone
else. And
I
know it's hard to pronounce, but it's Willem, not William.
Oh, sorry.
And it's Belli, not Belly. Thank you. Are we back from this break?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because we got a lot of things.
It's hard to believe that Anne Hathaway used to be married to William Shakespeare. It is so wild. Anyway, let's get into the because that was William Shakespeare's wife's name was Anne Hathaway.
Oh, okay. I was just laughing because it was out of left field. I do like what Gottmik asked Anne Hathaway. He said, Annie, you know, she's our friend. He says, asking for a friend, what do you do when you don't get the role you wanted? Mm-hmm. And Anne says, you steal the show.
That's
and honey,
right.
I know you and me are both kleptos. We'll do anything to steal the show. We'll get pissed on. We'll fist a hoe.
Baby.
Honey.
We'll chew the scenery. We'll dip it in ranch. We'll, you know.
Y'all can be stunt. Yeah.
And it's really good advice. She closes out by saying, good luck and don't forget to have fun because I don't swear.
She's a new mother. Can't have the baby.
Right.
Things.
So sweet. I love that little visit from Anne Hathaway. I love Anne Hathaway. She's an icon. She's amazing. She's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I adore her.
She's a model. Looks like Linda Evangelista.
You're beautiful. You're a model. You look like Linda Evangelista. Oh, your smile is beautiful. Okay. Recording with Michelle and David Steinberg and Eric Paparazzi.
Mm-hmm. This recording is, I love that Michelle's in charge of it. I remember her telling me, and I think maybe you were in the car too, that the first song Seduction had to like perform to for all those times, her voice wasn't even honest. They were lip syncing to other people's voices. I remember her saying that. So like, it makes sense that she's spearheading a musical that they're lip syncing while they're recording.
Yeah,
but like,
it makes sense.
She does sing. She's got experience. And first up to the plate is Tina. She also got experience. She sounds like she stole Ethel Merman's pipes, for sure.
Totally. She doesn't even need a mic. She doesn't need amplification. You know, back in the classic days, we didn't need microphones.
No.
She sounds really good. Olivia is saying,
Oh, honey, Miss Olivia says, well, is that ensemble? Or do I do that too? Or are they supporting me? Like, how do you ask the question without being like, do I have to do the ensemble role?
Right.
I'm melody, right? I don't do harmony. I don't do oohs and ahs.
Top line.
Yeah.
Yeah. which I love, and she sounds really great. Simone likes to oogle all day.
Yeah. I always thought it was oogle.
Social media, oogle. I thought it was ogle.
Because what do you do when you put like big black and white eyes on your asshole and twerk? They're googly eyes, not ogly eyes. Yeah.
Well, Google is different than ogle. I thought it was ogle, honestly, and they kept saying it's ogle, and I don't know that I've heard, I don't know that I've heard it as Ogle, but I guess maybe I've just been wrong and been saying Ogle in my mind.
Ogle.
Ogle.
I always
thank
thought it
you,
was...
robot.
Ogle. That's the pronunciation correctly. Simone, this is the first time we've ever seen her not like at probably A plus. She says she's not a singer, and they say just give it all that good Simone, and then they don't show her recording anymore. So that right there made me go, this is either really good or really bad.
Right. Yeah, it's weird to see her struggle because she's such a like iconic, gorgeous, perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, model, but that's what vulnerability is, you know. Mm-hmm. Candy, the outline says her words are all S's. I thought she was she great.
She said, "You gave me all these S words, and I have a lisp." She said that on the show.
Oh,
that's
right.
Why I put that in
there. I thought she sounded great, though. This is an example of she really is just putting her essence and her attitude into it. And
she can't say
it was...
essence, but she's putting it in.
Jaded, bitch.
Elliot's doing a whisper track.
She's got whisper lace on. She
whisper lace.
She says she's missing. Michelle says she's missing the mark a bit. So who knows? They're not concentrating on her, that's for sure. Utica has so many fast, hard words, allegorical, mathematical. She's got all the Scrabble points. And
she got the patter song.
Mm-hmm, pitter patter. Listen, everybody, because in case you didn't, Utica.
Very that.
Now, Dancing with Jamal seems to go a little bit better for some of the girls. Some of the girls know how to do everything, including Olivia. She's like taking everything and just killing it.
Simone continues to kind of struggle to get her footing. She's very tentative, very nervous, and learning steps and choreo is not her thing. Oh, at all.
No. Utica's section is super complicated. She has to do like this hashtag on the left with her hands and then go over to her right to clip and clap and do some other stuff. So I'm wondering if they were setting her up for the bottom too, just because they're putting a lot of pressure on that section. But Candy is giving me sex siren, honey.
She's doing floor work.
Oh,
honey, she's doing.
She does some of her best work on the floor. I mean, gravity is her friend.
Como la floor.
Crumb on the floor. Kenny's like, where? Rosé is a consummate professional. She booked the dance call.
5, 6, several eights. That's right. She does it. This is what she does, baby. She's a musical theater girl, baby. This is what she does.
It is what she does.
She's having no trouble whatsoever. Got Mick, however, is feeling the pressure to match the energy and ability that Denali seems to have for choreo. And is a little, you know, hesitant at first, but, ends up coming through, as we will see.
I think that girls do themselves a disservice when they know they're going to have a prop or hair on or heels on and they don't rehearse in it or learn in it, because it's like they were both going to have guitars or something. They could have given them a broom or something, because like that energy goes into your hands and you want to grip something and hold it and move it. And like faking that is sometimes, you know, some girls aren't into it until like Tyra when she rehearsed, you know, and then she won.
Gonna stand here with my arms folded the whole rehearsal. Could you imagine if someone did that with Jamal? Like, I just don't really rehearse. Thank you, though.
Who was leading that rehearsal?
Jamal.
No, with Tyra. Was it just like within the queens, or was there a person there?
I think it must have been just the queens had to come up with something, and she was like, "I'm taking it all in. I'm watching. I'm not gonna do it right now."
She's like, "Nobody's tipping. I ain't doing nothing."
It worked out though.
Whenever there's a twin or like a duo role, like Shangela and Alexis,
we are
the comedy
queen.
The comedy
for single guys.
those kind of roles are a chance to like shine for like
really?
Big bubbly people.
Yeah.
If you're not big and bubbly, you need to make it big and bubbly because mm-hmm. that's all they're writing that role for, is to see how well you work with others and what you can do.
We can take a break and come back to the mirror chats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about mirror chats. We're back, and Simone, I mean, this is the day where they like produce the tracks that you recorded and then they give them to you in your iPod. So you'd listen intently and you're like, this is what my verse sounds like. And Simone is not happy with how her verse has come through.
Yeah, so I mean, she's not listening, great. Listening to it, I wouldn't be either. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounded fine, but, like, would I want to buy that on iTunes?
No, but then they do Candy's part, and it's fully auto-tuned. The whole, there's vocal effects.
Honey.
There's auto-tune and, like, a microphone kind of distortion effect. Like, if you would have thrown a little of that on Simone's,
it would have been crystal perfect.
She would have sounded bomb. Yes.
They knew what they were doing, and they chose to do it. Just like what they did with Blair St. Clair, where they played her backing track with no vocals. Ooh. Instead of, and they played Juju's with full, like, sweet and sweetening, honey, Ariana. So, like, they know what they're doing. They're producing a TV show, and we love them for it, but we will talk about it when we see it, and it's blatant.
We will. We will.
I saw something hilarious, because one of my favorite songs this year has been Sitting Alone in the VIP, and Candy talks about her social media experience when the bullying and the negativity from her proximity to Aja during Drag Race, during Aja's season, and her, total tone deafness about posting, you know, her sitting alone in the VIP moment. Which when I saw, I thought it was a joke at first. And then I was like, oh no, this girl loves herself enough that this is a serious comment. And I was just like, go off, sis. Let them worship. Those who want to worship, worship. But like, don't ever like sit behind a VIP alone. Like that looks like, go out in the club, have fun, bitch. Maybe she wasn't in a tipping outfit. Maybe her feet hurt. I don't know. But beautiful things came from it. A collaboration with you.
Yeah.
And when I put that I was sitting alone in the VIP and tried to join in on the trend, I think Max Emerson was like, girl, I tried to say hi to you all night, blah, 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 blah. I was like, A, I don't want to talk to you. And B, like, it was a joke. I'm sending you this joke now. Read about it and then you can do it. Like...
you're right. And she recognizes how absurd that original tweet was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so did the internet. But she leaned into it so hard and it became a thing. And I think the reason why it became such a thing is because it does resonate on some level. We have all had those moments being drag queens where we're like, we're at a club and we're at a party, which is supposed to be the funnest thing ever. And sometimes you're there and you're just like, I don't want to fucking be here. This is like going to the office for me and I don't want to be here. We've all had those moments. And that song, that meme taps into that. And I'm so grateful that we were able to do that song together because it's so fucking good. So check out the music video. Check out the song. It's really good.
I mean, sunglasses in a club.
Candy.
Who would never not want that?
Right.
Rosé is shit stirring now at this point. And she says, Miss Tina, didn't you date someone famous? Didn't you have a fling? And then we get the tea.
We didn't have a fling. We full-on had a relationship, darling.
I mean, should we read excerpts from Graham Norton's autobiography about what he said about young strapping Tina with big shoulders? He said her shoulders were big.
Honey, the reads continue.
He said a strapping young brute of a man or something like that.
Something levitates.
Girl.
That's so wild because, I don't know anything about, listen.
Honey, can you imagine dating someone like Graham Norton or.
It'd be hard.
Honey, he's so funny. He's on Drag Race UK. Yeah. And he's always got these great quips. I would think that whoever needs to date him needs to be the exact opposite, or like feeding him lines in his ears. You know? And right. I feel like that could have worked for some reason. And Tina was a like 7 foot tall twink back in the day.
Right. So yeah.
She was perfect plus one size for the parties.
Right, exactly.
She could reach the sling without even like getting on a stair.
You know, I
someone boost me up. Grab my leg.
They were in a full-on relationship, and God bless, love his love, period. Mm. Some things never change.
Did you see that picture of Meatball? Made it onto the TV?
I saw
Sitting Alone in VIP?
Yeah.
I saw Alaska's picture.
Meatball takes credit.
You're back on the race!
Meatball fully takes credit for the meme taking off.
She was the one to first repost it, wasn't she?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I get all my stuff from the good girls, the young girls.
We've got the Candy girls. Muse news.
No, we don't. But they say that on Sloppy Seconds all the time. They do a segment called Candy Muse.
That could
Muse
be a
news.
Whole podcast, News on Muse.
Muse news.
now,
like Blue's Clues,
main...
but worse, just candy.
Yeah. On the main stage, RuPaul is doing this category where she says, I'm doing a sculpted trench coat and a purse.
Business.
It's the first time she's worn a purse on the runway.
Really?
First purse. Well, as far as I'm aware, yes.
Oh, well, a lady can never be too sure.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe this is one of those missing coach pieces.
I have
think
a question.
It is? They just did coach.
I'm not
sure. I can't
sure.
tell what the bag is. If anyone can spot the brand or like clock what the bag is, I would love to know. Because
maybe
she looks cool.
I love her outfit. I don't like how her wig has that like swoop at the hairline before it goes forward. It looks like it was set properly with like the banding and the pins and that little swoop right there.
Yeah.
I feel like it feels like a divine hairstyle where it's a little too far back on her head.
She likes to do that. She likes to rock that.
Honey, Matthew would always say when he was shooting me, I can either pull your wig up in Photoshop or you can just leave it where I keep putting it now. Because I would always pull it down. He likes a lot of forehead. And maybe Rue likes a lot of forehead too, because she's got this is the fourth billboard from wherever Mississippi. What is that movie that I just fucked up that joke? Missouri.
It's called Three Billboards, right? Is it called Three Billboards? Three Billboards outside of
Minnetonka? Minnetonka? Three billboards
outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Honey, let me tell you, if RuPaul was outside Ebbing, Missouri right now, that movie would have been called Four Billboards, because she has so much forehead. I'm not sure how the wig is placed, but it is sitting. Is it alone
that's
in the VIP?
That's what they've always done, because then her head, when facing forward, is a perfect, like, oval.
Yeah,
she's always done that, like, Queen Elizabeth. It's, like, back a little bit farther than... Mm-hmm. than normal, and you know, it works.
I'm gonna go a little back farther for normal for Jamal Sims. He's on the judging panel tonight along with Ross Matthews and Michelle Visage, and Michelle looks gorgeous. These star earrings and this purple eyeshadow and these white glasses, I'm here for that.
Yes, and I love this bit of, instead of doing little quips, we're just all gonna be on our phones.
Honestly, this was funnier than the quips, mostly. Because the quips are sometimes painful to get through, as evidenced by LaToya, Aubrey O'Day. Actually, Aubrey was a great judge, but like some of the quips are really painful.
Right. Even when they're written for you.
Parsons are always sickening.
Very. And
Shaft,
Ross
the 12
and Michelle's the... Yeah. The family judges are great, but sometimes the guest judges, there are a few clunkers. Mm-hmm. So we get into this rusical. What are your thoughts? Who stood out? How was the writing? How was the overall thing?
I thought the book of the musical, meaning the words and stuff, was great. Mm-hmm. It was like everything that we actually think about social media. I was sad that they didn't have like Tamisha Iman come on real quick and play Tumblr and be like, you know what? I'm out. No more porn. I wish they would have gotten into the more of the idiosyncrasies of like all the social medias that we use and stuff. Like, but it was cute. It was funny. I
thought Candy Muse should have just been OnlyFans instead of LinkedIn.
I was waiting for Rosé to be OnlyFans.
Right, which I guess she kind of fills that role, but they never like say like she just is like the sexy figure that is too hot for the normal platforms.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I think the standouts for me were, I thought Tina did an amazing job as an MC. I
did too.
I thought she kept it pumping. The death choice isn't what I would have done. And this is the other reason why I'm hesitating to call it a rusical, because it's obvious like that she wasn't singing at the end. And I thought that was the choice of like of her saying like, I'm obviously not singing. Look, I'm stopping. Then I'm going to die. And my note's still going. Like, I got that as a joke as a viewer. But then they were acting like that wasn't a joke that she meant to do. But in my head, I was like, she meant to do it. And then when on the runway, they were like, you stop singing. And she was just like, I might have. I feel like she was just, you know, taking their critique and moving on instead of trying to fight and say, well, you're ridiculous for making us not sing in a musical. When the other girls, I think they let the girls sing or lip sync based on the talent of the cast and the casting. Yeah. Like, would it be an embarrassment if these girls sang live? If it's half yes, half no, they have to go with tracking it because they don't want a shitty product. Speaking of shitty products, I've heard from Drag Race Down Under that Snatch Game down there is the worst Snatch Game in all of the franchise's history. So I cannot wait to see that.
If it's not going to be the best, it might as well be the worst. Good for them.
What'd you say? The drama music was coming.
If it's not going to be the best, it might as well be the worst. We love that. We love it either way.
Yeah. Who are your best and worst for the social media unverified rusical?
My favorite, you know, I didn't have really high expectations for this musical because I was like, I thought it was going to be like the Pharma Rusical where it's just sort of like, who cares? But no, this had, you know, the story was compelling. My favorite part was the four like foam board phones and then the like social, nudity, photos,
resume,
career. Yeah,
That was funny.
That was really, really funny. It was a very short-lived moment, but it was really funny. And I feel for Simone, and this just goes to show you on Drag Race, never wear sunglasses. I am a hoe who loves to wear sunglasses in real life. On Drag Race, masks and sunglasses rarely work because she was getting swallowed up by the coat and the hair and the sunglasses. It was like she was in disguise, and so we lost her.
I thought it was a reveal because I was like, when she needs to take those off. Because in the same way that if you're on stage and the lighting's bad and you can't see the whites of someone's eyes, you don't really connect with them. Right. And I think that her inability to connect during this performance is the reason that she's in the bottom too.
And I loved Candy Muse's Sacha Bell hair reveal. Don't kiss the pilot, where she takes out that hair and just the two strands that were up come down.
Honey,
that Bob was trying to escape Candy's head. Candy, feel for her because she's bald. So what is it affixed to? You know what
tape.
I mean?
I'm sure it's affixed to, she does the duct tape thing. But Candy, I feel like, is dressed as Britney in Womanizer.
Womanizer, womanizer, sanitizer, sanitizer. Yeah,
sanitizer. I feel like that Britney look that she did for that office thing.
Completely that.
Is that 100%. I'm wondering, were these outfits from home? Are these like provided? Because not every girl comes with business casual. Did they tell all the girls to bring all outfits representing all of these social medias?
Did they tell Olivia Lux to bring a knit top? And
jeggings.
She has a new pair of sneaker wedge boots.
Right,
they're blue this week.
I wonder if some of the outfit pieces were provided, and they said, Olivia, you're doing Mark Zuckerberg in college, so you need to wear this knit top and these leggings.
Jeggings. Yeah.
Because it was not, like, the hair was cool. It reminded me, you know, blue Facebook. Yeah. Like, okay. the knit top was not doing anyone any favors. And especially after last, you know, like a week ago on the UK, they were like, Joe Black wore a dress from H&M and they just like went ham and like lost their minds. And that was during a music performance challenge. So I don't know.
Yeah, where they sang.
Right. So maybe, I think they were lip syncing to their own voices.
Oh, yeah, it was
voices.
The same thing. They recorded and then lip synced to their own voices.
Really?
They sang during Rats, the musical.
That. Yeah. They had that. Memory. This is Rue's favorite joke, apparently, where she says, I can't face it. What is it you can't face?
What is
face?
It you can't face? Which I think is
because
from
it's cunt face,
Sound
right?
of Music. It's uh-huh. from Sound of Music.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It
Mother Superior says it to Maria.
It
what is it you can't face, my child?
It literally that is, sounds it. Like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very, very funny. Yeah.
How wonderful. This Should runway get... category is yellow gorgeous.
Don't kiss the pilot. We keep our wigs in the overhead bin. We do.
I don't remember
the
that one.
The seat belt is there to make you skinny. Tighter, 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 tighter. Okay. You're not a fan of the...
season 7?
Glamazonian Airways.
Oh, season 7?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I actually tell people when they ask about watching Drag Race, I'm like, do 7 last because they're really pretty. But like 4, 6, and 8.
Come on. Season 7 gets a bad reputation, but some of the biggest stars of Drag Race have come out of that season.
Ginger Minj,
literally,
like great girls.
It is a who's who of iconic, recognizable, very successful characters. So it gets a shit reputation, but actually it's very watchable. Fucking yeah. Jasmine Masters was on that fucking season. Fucking Sasha Bell.
I didn't like the writing or the challenge on a lot of them, you know?
Shakespeare was
a low point, I'd say, for the franchise.
Okay, let's get into this. Yellow gorgeous.
Miss Tina comes out doing her New York thing first. Again, she's dressed as a school bus. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a taxi cab. My bad.
Oh, my God. Tina Burner. She wore a yellow dress. She stood on a street corner. 12 children tried to board her. I'm serious. Oh, my God. Can we talk?
I'm just mad that the meter ain't running because she could be making some money in this dress, honey. She's showing curves, swerves her titties out. She pulled all that fat from under her armpit and said, you get up here. You were going to have cleavage tonight.
Yes. This is the best Tina has looked on this season. I'm going to say it and I stand behind it. This is the best she's ever looked.
Mm-hmm. Olivia in this beaded yellow canary confection, which has a reveal. We saw it in Untucked. It mm-hmm. turns into a dance costume. These giant feather puffs, which make her look just so petite. She's playing mm-hmm. with proportion wonderfully here, and she looks like she is a superstar.
I would like to steal those yellow puffs, Olivia.
They're not for
contact
you,
contact me. Olivia, contact me and I'll give you my mailing address and I would like to steal them from you. They're so fabulous. She looks so good.
They're for me. Simone.
These are for me.
These are for me. I don't trust a girl that would put feathers or fur on the floor. I'll keep them nice in my closet. Simone.
I got feathers and fur on my floor.
I see.
Right
I see
now.
I see the bedlam.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Simone. Yay. Beautiful pieces. That coat is so sickening. The hair is fabulous.
The hair is great. The suspenders are great. It's something we've never seen on the runway.
Yeah, it's sort of like Fifth Element. And when they get into the critiques, you can see on the straps is printed. It says Avalon, which is her house.
Oh, work. Walking for the house.
Right. I mean, she looks flawless. She's never going to not fucking look flawless. She looks so good.
Gorge.
Utica.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
I love it. I love the idea of it and seeing something I've never seen and like knowing it was based on history, like this mm-hmm. weird version of a slut gown from the 14th century or whatever.
Indeed.
I wish the bottom was bigger. I wish she would have taken a little more liberty and made it more an event because it feels like a really fancy washer lady costume.
Okay.
The hair's great.
I liked it.
Makeup's great.
And I loved the side cutouts and the hair. I loved it.
I just feel like I have an aversion to anything I couldn't suck a dick in. And like...
You definitely
couldn't suck a dick in Utica's outfit. You could suck
you
a many.
Could,
a many. No, no, not how I like to.
These men are freaky.
No, these men are freaky.
They like that weird shit. They like the weirder fucking you look, the more the. This is what I've heard. The weirder and crazier and clownier you look, the more they are just like, yes, this is what I
you
want.
You talking to Jackie?
No.
Yes, she has.
Well, that's Glendale,
she's done market.
Honey. That's
she's
the
done
deep
market
valley
research. Okay, and she has. She asks them. She says, "Okay, do you want me to look like this?" And she
what
sounds
hair
like
do
a
you want?
Really femme, like really like natural look. And then she sends like a complete clown, multicolored hair, crazy makeup, and they always, without exception, choose the clown, crazy, nonsense look.
Honey, that's Sherry Vine trolling her double list ad. That is not what the men want. That's Sherry and Mario with time on their hands fucking
it
with Jackie's
is
ass. Jackie's peeping through the peep toll. Listen, I've had guys straight up say to me, why do you have to do your makeup like a clown? And I base that on, if you're wearing so bottom funny lashes, they see too much of the illusion close up to successfully pull off bottom clown lash.
Okay. Yeah.
So from my standpoint or my Neil point, I'll tell you different, ho. Okay. Now, Candy's dress, I could definitely suck a many splendor dick in. This is the lemonade look with the daisies in her hair. Very If I Die Young, Bury Me in Satin.
Yeah.
Lay
the only thing that would have improved this look
bat
is a baseball bat. Yes.
Honey, yeah. Which she could be swinging underneath there if she hangs out with the house of Aja, because Dahlia's swinging. Aja's got a whole, I think she's a bat boy, actually. She's got a lot of bats.
Elliot
shows up, beep beep toot toot.
Is originality over? I'm not blaming this on, have we just reached an apex point of culture where there is no possibility that there's going to be a runway where somebody doesn't do an exact same ass thing as somebody else? Is that just the reality? Because it happens on UK as well. It's happening here. Have we just reached like a point where pop culture has just, everything has been done and there's no, it is unavoidable that there's going to be repeats.
I was surprised nobody was a honeybee on this. I was surprised nobody was Winnie the Pooh. There's so many great yellow references.
Kill Bill.
Yeah. You know, the bride. There's so many great yellow references that I didn't see. I didn't.
Mrs. But, Pac-Man.
Oh my God, that one would have been great. That would have been sickening. I don't know if that would have been allowed though.
Me getting pissed on.
Big Bird was great, would have been
Tweety
a great
Bird,
one.
Yeah.
Me getting pissed on at the Echoplex.
Hello. Vintage drag queens posting all the tea. Us in our yellow looks. I was wearing a Preparation H look.
Maybe work.
Me, Paul, and I were talking about this dripping like liquid latex, but then like a urinal cake fascinator on the head, like you're a pool of urine.
I don't want to know what you wore your bat mitzvah dipper.
Like Raja, but yellow.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that Elliot's look feels a little Leg Avenue stripper store. Like,
okay,
you're going to be a sexy cab driver.
Right. I actually liked Tina's better.
Me too.
It seemed more custom. Elliot looked cool. She looked good.
So I don't mean to interrupt the thing that Tina's costumes were all designed by Florence DeLee. And then I just read something this morning. He was recovering in the hospital after he designed all the costumes, and they were all made by like 15 different people across the country, different sewers and stuff. So the fact that Tina looks so polished in all these runways and her designer was going through it just like snaps to that, snaps to Florence.
Yeah, definitely. Florence turns it out with some looks, Tina.
Rosé, what did you think of her Jim Carrey as the mask moment?
When she first came around the corner, my first thought was, why is her face green?
She color corrected and she's got her foundation. Toned down
then
the redness.
I got that it was the mask, but it took me a second to get there. Mm-hmm. If I mean, she looks pretty. The red hair is very flattering. I think the things that make the mask are giant teeth and a giant hat. And yeah, and so if it was me, I mean, she looked very pretty. She looked great. It was like a pretty girl version of the mask. What I would have done is a fucking trouser and a fucking fedora and
a little zoot suit.
Big ass fucking fake white teeth. You know, Tina Burner teeth.
Honey, get that Trinity K. Bonet flipper.
Right, exactly.
Do you need to go full on, I think, when you're trying to do like her Bette
sister,
Midler.
Sister teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her Bette Midler was perfect because it was spot on perfection, but this needed to be bigger, and I think it called for a bigger hat, like everything. You want to look like the cover of the movie, and there's no hat, and that's half of it. That's hat of it.
I've hat it officially.
Denali looks kind of cool, but I think the timing of this coming after a Medusa headpiece 2 weeks ago on BBC makes it just go, oh, she got the small one.
Right. Which, when you get into the close details, it is very beautiful. The overall proportion of it. I feel like, yes, we're all thinking of fucking Veronica Green and her fucking pig head fucking snake woman that's just, mm-hmm. like, so huge.
The pork worm, the pig snake. We love that.
Good old pig snake.
Confessions of a pork worm. I think it's cute. It doesn't, I'm sure it would move well if she was dancing and being sickening in it, but, like, it was cute.
Yeah. Got Mick. I mean, this is fierce. And again, we saw Denali do a crash test dummy look. But this is fabulous. I love it. It's very like the Matrix to me, like the sort of bad guys in the Matrix a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've never seen the Matrix. I started to watch the first one and then I got kind of confused and shut it off.
Okay.
But this looks fucking cool. Yeah, Gottmik looks sickening. So sickening that we need to take a break.
Gottmik is a crash test dummy, baby. Got told that she couldn't drive a car and drove it into a wall. Okay, we'll be right back.
Ooh, girl, you got England.
They have different alarms over there.
They do.
Sirens.
Y'all know what time it is. Right now, it's time for us to jump across the pond for the UK Minute.
It's Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your UK Minute.
On episode 6, the girls try out their best impersonations in The Snatch Game. Were you snatched away by the performances?
More like grabbed. The queens go prehistoric in their runway looks. Would they have survived the Ice Age?
I mean, maybe if they bundled up with some mammoth fur.
Also, tea or coffee?
How about both? Because tea or coffee is joining us.
For more recaps of Season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race UK,
check out The Chop every Tuesday here on the Mom Network.
The safe dolls are Olivia, Utica, and Eliotina, and everyone else is up for critiques.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't, when they said Tina was a top or a bottom, I was like, well, wow, are they putting her in the bottom? I was kind of shocked that happened.
Yeah.
They liked her runway look, but they thought her performance wasn't as good as it could have been. And they commented on her not lip syncing at the end, which was just like, people do that all the time. Like they hold a note and then they like go off stage and come back on and the note's still being held.
Yeah.
Like I saw that as a joke and they weren't letting that be played as that joke, but whatever.
It was all leading up to that death scene and she just didn't deliver in that moment. And they really took umbrage with that. Speaking of umbrage, Simonier's performance, they thought that she was like apologizing for the quality of her track and like ultimately didn't like her track. And so was that, like, which, you know, I mean, yeah, she she wasn't at a level 10 during the performance, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Candy was at a fucking 14. She was doing her signature floor work. Honestly, I think that the custodial department should thank her because she's been mopping it up every week.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Her performance was messy. Her outfit was disheveled and they couldn't see her face. And then Candy in Untucked says, I'm sorry if you couldn't see my face. Like, you just, and she was like, you got to deal with that. Like, it's not my fault. And it's like that kind of thing. And it's like, we need to see your face, honey. This isn't anal.
I wonder maybe she could have done a more like sculpted like still wig, but she was going for that Britney
secretarial Britney. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And you can't do that kind of dance move without having some of your hair fling in your face a little bit.
Yeah, cuz it but was a very sexy role.
How are they going to say they couldn't see her face when Candy Muse has one of the biggest heads that has ever been on Drag Race and they said that they couldn't see her face? Girl, bye.
Couldn't see it.
You know why they couldn't see her fucking face?
Couldn't see it.
Because the judges' table is at a diagonal to the stage, which is, you know how it's filmed, right? Yeah. You've seen it. Like the stage and the runway is square and then basically the bottom corner of the runway where like the first two people would line up if all 13 girls lined up against the front, that's where the judges table is kind of veered off of at a diagonal, so they can't see people's faces all the way because they're not sitting in front of the stage, they're to the side of it because the cameras need to be in front of the stage and the booms and like the jibs and the stuff, like so that's why you couldn't see her fucking face. Her face is huge. You could see her face still in at the Ritz in New York when she was out here doing a number in LA. I'm sorry. I love Candy.
So Rosé, they loved her performance. She was great. She knocked it out of the park. But why is it orange? Tell me, who chose the orange? Did you think it was orange?
I definitely thought it was a warmer tone. Would I call it marigold? No. Would I call it a golden yellow? Yes. Like a lion-y color? Yeah. Like the lion emoji. Like that color yellow.
Yeah, it didn't read orange
honey,
to me.
It's Michelle's job to nitpick and she's doing it. She's cashing the check, showing them what they want to hear. Denali is getting many compliments for her performance, the dance moves, the face, the back handspring in heels. It was a wonderful moment for all the judges.
Yeah. This was one of those, this was the role that kind of steals the show, and she and Got Mick definitely did that. And it was, they were very satisfied getting to see Got Mick succeed in this because Got Mick was sort of unsure about going into this, like not being a super choreography person, not being a super singer person, but ended up going in and slaying it and murdering it, which is very satisfying to watch.
Yeah, whereas it feels like the opposite of Joe Black.
right. But the clear winner here this week is Rosé. And the person who knows this is Rosé.
Rosé. What's the hardest part about this challenge, Rosé? I'm telling you, the girls, they're not going to win.
You say that.
I said something like that. I can't remember all the shit that I talked. A toilet got jealous. The Safe Girls, they're Denali, Gottmik, and Tina Burner.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to go in the back now. And the bottom two is declared as Simone and Candelisa Musingtons.
Just heartbreaking to see. And you can see because they're really good Judies. And they're feeling, you can see how like devastating it is that they have to go up against each other. But then the music starts to play and they both give a really, really sickening, really fun performance.
I love this lip sync. It was wonderful. The only part I didn't like is when I saw, it's honestly a shame that by season, what is this, 14? By season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race, that they don't have a coat check yet on stage. Or a page, because these girls' garments should not be hitting the floor, especially when they're Versace for coats. We don't put that on the floor, honey. Todrick did that once, too, and now she's not allowed to borrow the furs no more. She
Save
threw that coat.
Do you have your ticket? Well,
no.
I'm sorry. I can't. There's nothing I can do for you.
You can call back tomorrow when the cleaning crew's here at 10, and if they have any coats left, just you need to find that ticket, though. Yeah. But I was happy to see that Simone ended the performance with the coat back on and gave the performance a button the same way that Candy did with the whole, like, jukebox with the boombox thing. Like, yeah. It was a wonderful performance by both Simone and Candy.
And it was so devastating when RuPaul said, "Candy Muse, sashay away." And Candy gives a really impassioned speech. She starts to walk away. And baby, there was not a dry eye in the world when RuPaul said, "Wait, Candy. Candy, wait. I'm not ready to see you go yet." Seriously. Another first in Drag Race. The Candy Muse late save. Anything is possible on this season of Drag Race, and mm-hmm. It was very satisfying.
I was happy to see her here, and I hope the two girls go next week because
maybe next week is the COVID documentary.
Honey, I need some blood in the water. I need these girls to go home.
Baby, listen, I'm not going to complain about Drag Race, but what I am going to complain about is, like, we have all been staying at home doing nothing for a year. We don't need to see another thing about what it's like to stay home and do nothing, because we all have been doing it. Unless you're in Florida or Puerto Vallarta, in which case your schedule is packed.
I did a show in Ohio last week, so, like, I'm one of those girls now, too.
Yeah, but you didn't do a maskless show.
No, I didn't.
No.
You didn't go to a circuit party.
No, I did not.
No, you did a safe gig.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, can we get on with the season? Like, we don't need to stop the season mid-season just to be like, do it as a bonus like they did in the UK. They did a bonus episode where it was like, and it was actually not very nice to watch. Yeah. But I don't want to, like, not see. Are we not going to have an episode next? Am I popping off for no reason?
No, I think you have a lot of reason to. I think the UK one really worked because the girls were greeted with corona in the middle of production and shut down. The LA girls were not shut down in the middle of production. Like, and I understand that the season 12 girls didn't get to tour, and the season 13 girls might have some touring hurdles to overcome, but, like, this, I don't need to be interrupted in the middle of watching this. Like, I want to see some carnage. I do think that the World of Wonder people are taking the advice of everybody, though, and they're going to put up the girls, like, Venmos and tipping info, so, like, they can make some money during this season, because right now they would be touring and they would be all on the road and they would be paying back their designers and costumers and stuff.
Dang.
And they can't do that right now. So I do like that they're giving the girls an opportunity to do it, but I think it should be a bonus, not instead of.
But all this being said, I rewatched the episode this morning and there was a scene for the next episode and it was Snatch Game. So maybe they're going to do both next week.
It doesn't look like it from the schedule.
Oh, it doesn't.
It looks like Snatch Game is March 5th.
Will you text
her? Man. That's
I have to hit her on Kick, though. She doesn't respond to my text.
I tried to kick her once, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure the documentary, as they're calling it, the COVID documentary, the Drag Race COVID documentary, I'm sure the documentary will be very compelling. And very nice to watch.
I wonder if they'll give credit to the people that innovated digital drag first. I know Raya did the first digital drag show, Quarantine Queen.
Bitch,
that was the first one. And then Bitch did Twitch. Mm-hmm. I think those are the first two girls.
The Bitch began to twitch.
Bitch began to twitch and twitch and twitch. I hope that they give credit to all the girls in the face of a global pandemic.
Yeah. There has been a lot of innovation.
Yeah, and
that's
we just want to see
the description of the documentary.
The resilience.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They must be talking about Tina's makeup. did you watch Untucked this week? I did. It was kind of boring. It was just three girls who all got along.
Right. But we got to see we got to see that Utica is the Sweden of the group.
Honey, you know that ain't a nickname when you don't even have the right. Like, who calls you that, doll? Who calls you that other than you and your journal?
Who called you that?
Sweden.
Olivia had a reveal, which was very satisfying. I'm glad we got to see her silky nutmeg ganache moment. If I had to lip sync, I would have lip synced my motherfucking ass off.
I think a reveal is something that reveals something and it's like, ooh, not like, look, I'm taking down my one skirt. Like, I want a reveal to whip off. I want to spin.
Right.
I mean, I want that Brooklyn Heights moment. I tried to do it and it's harder than it looks. There's a lot of moving parts. You can't wear earrings.
Right. Yeah.
But I did think she looked beautiful. Go ahead, Dips.
What? Remember when Jada on episode 1 of season 12, in her lip sync, she like let half of that yellow dress go and it was so magical to us? You clocked it though.
What? Did I say there's going to be a reveal?
She was wearing like the yellow, like sort of tulle.
Oh, yeah. And the bottom part all went off
while she was lip syncing. And you were like, I saw that it was going to be a reveal.
I mean, we Angina wore that dress. Everybody wears that dress. And the bottom half comes off just so they can pack it in a bag. So you know it can be a reveal.
See, I didn't clock. I didn't know.
Gottmik, can't believe that all of her best friends are in the bottom this week. And
so hard.
It's all winner circle girls in the bottom this week. All three of them are the Team A girls.
Yeah.
Which is a first.
Yeah. And we get to see Simone and Candy have a little like regroup after the fact outdoors, which was cool.
The graciousness, like I think displayed by Simone and Candy before they lip synced, was just like friends getting ready to do a number. Oh, we both turned in the same music. Oh, well, it'll be fine. And honey, if you need to send me home, you need to lip sync the dirt out of me. Go for it. This was like true sisterhood on display. And I love watching it. And I love that all y'all got to join us to recap it, to she-cap it this week.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us for Race Chaser this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we'd love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe, too. Take a moment and leave us a rating as long as you like us. If not, go ball beautiful.
You can follow.
Gotta go. Trixie's out front.
My time is expensive, so you need to hit it.
You can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. You can follow Race Chaser at Race Chaser Pod, and you can follow the Mom Network at Mom Podcasts
/ Chaser. Bonus content is available now.
Chaser
at
80.
Chaser 80 drag. Bonus content is now available at patreon.com/Willem. And you can search for Race Chaser content by searching with the hashtag Race Chaser in the search thing. And we just uploaded part 2 of our OnlyFans reviews. And let me just say that this one goes deep.
We go deep and we don't get
no sleep. We're sucking on milk's feet.
Definitely check that out on Patreon. And you can email us anytime at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
And please wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance yourself, respect each other and the world. And please, again, wear a mask, especially if you're ugly.
Bye.
A break on that one.
All right.
Did Coco get her per diem for this week yet? She told me that she hadn't been paid.
Fuck.
She's been doing pop-ups for a while now.
Fuck.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.